This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Songs with Friends, episode 23, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you now?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I am currently watching some 2004 IWA Mid-South while we record, and I know you have no idea what that is.
Is it wrestling?
It is, from New Albany, Indiana, at the National Guard Armory, with future world champions AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan squaring off in front of about 75 people.
I know who they are.
Yeah, one of those people was me, so I'm really fired up to relive the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, but anyway, we're not here to talk about AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Oh no. We're here to talk about songs with our friends. And yes. The first of those songs is from 1971, long before either one of us was alive. This is from the album Sky's the Limit, and it is Just My Imagination by The Temptations. Are you familiar with the song, Kelly?
Yes, of course.
Now, I became aware of this song back in about 98, I believe. My mom had gotten a Motown anniversary album. I think it was Motown 40. She got it for Christmas. It was a double album, and I would borrow it all the time and listen to it. And I just loved this song at 16 years old. As someone who, as we've pretty well documented here, was very not great with the ladies and didn't quite know how to pursue romantic interest, this idea of imagining a whole ass life with a girl was right up my alley.
When I was reading this, I was like, this is Steve's anthem.
My God, it was my teenage not knowing how to close the deal anthem.
Which I guess I always used to, like, I would hear this song. My dad, you know, my parents would listen to this. I don't know. Music from this era or whatever too when I was growing up, and I guess I always kind of just thought it was some kind of love song, but now I'm like, this is creeper.
It's Bill. not great at all.
But you know, I just hearing it, you know, not really like thinking about it, because I've heard it so many times, but I never had read the lyrics till like a week ago.
All right, so let's jump into it.
All right.
Each day through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. All right, so he's not even leaving the house to stalk. She is just in the neighborhood, around.
You said that first line super creepy.
You know, Kel, it's been almost a year of doing this show now. You may have noticed creeper is kind of my thing. So he's at home. It's 1971.
71.
So he's watching his floor model TV. Watching, you know, All in the Family or fucking Andy Griffith or whatever was on back then. And every day about 4 o'clock, he knows this woman is walking by. Now, I wonder, is this Mrs. Jones? Like, is she going to fuck that other guy at the cafe? And then the Temptations guy is, like, fascinated with her.
Oh, my God. He knows. She's a line stepper.
It checks out. She is all dolled up, ready to see her young man. And he just sees this gorgeous woman every night at 6 o'clock.
I was thinking this was... Go ahead.
Like going to meet her side piece.
Yeah. I was thinking this was more like young love kind of thing, you know. Like, I've talked about this a lot. I grew up in a neighborhood with a bunch of kids that we all grew up, you know, we all lived there most of our childhood. And so I was thinking it would just be more like she walks by because she's a neighbor girl, lives down the street, and you would know, you know what I mean? Maybe less creepy initially, you know, because then you're growing up. Sometimes you look at someone like, oh, wow, they're hot. But you wouldn't have thought that like a few years ago, you know?
Yeah. Now, without the context of the later lyrics, I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. Like, he's talking to himself that he's just lucky to be able to see this woman walking by his bay window. It's weird. Yeah. Weird at best.
Yes, yes, yes.
To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellas in the world, she belongs to me. I'm not buying this. Like, he is just full on looking at this girl, and now he's like, oh man, she's mine. Like, that is weird ass, I'm going to kill you in your sleep type behavior.
Yes. Okay, this is kind of a side. My friend was telling me today that a friend of hers, a guy called her phone 49 times the other day. And I was like, that she had 49 missed calls. I'm like, that would fucking freak me out. Like, that's crazy shit.
Absolutely.
That's fucking crazy person behavior. I mean, like, a few missed calls would freak me out. 49. Yeah.
No, I... When I
have you done that to someone before?
Oh,
Steve?
Hard no. But I.
Well, you don't call people, so that's
true. Not good. I lived with a girl when I was 20, and I worked night shift at the time, and the phone just started ringing, and we didn't have an answering machine or anything, and I counted it out. It was like I said, I worked night shift, so I was trying to sleep, and this phone rang literally 50 consecutive rings. And I answered the phone so pissed off. It was the guy we went to high school with. I knew that they were going to hang out that day. And I guess she'd already left to head in his direction. He was going to let that phone ring until somebody picked it up. And I forget exactly what I said to express my anger. But his response, I'll never forget this. He said, well, you'll get over it. I'm like, Ed, I will fucking cut you if you call this house again.
Okay, we have him on the show too. No, just kidding.
No,
you'll get over it.
He is actually like a high-ranking hospital official now.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
And well, I see how he got that way.
Have an answering machine?
No, because the girlfriend did not like them.
Okay.
She didn't believe in the construct of fucking answering machines. I don't know why.
That's interesting. Because even, I mean, I feel like by then a lot of people had answer, like, you know, my grandparents had an answering machine years ago. You know, that's kind of weird.
I had an answering machine in my personal, my own phone line as a teenager. And I had an answering machine there. It would play various songs, including but not limited to Uncle Fucker, the Triple H song, and various other assorted tunes that people would call. And they would get 30 seconds of a song. And then me saying, leave a message. And my girlfriend was not on board with this type of chicanery.
Oh. Did you have a voicemail on your cell phone where you played music and then you talked?
I didn't have a cell phone because I was what the people call poor.
No, I mean when you got one. Like, how old were you when you got a cell phone?
Well, I had a prepaid gimmick when I was, again, 20. I got it for my 20th birthday. But no, it was just me saying, leave a message.
Okay. Never did the song and all that.
No, because by the time I got an actual, like, real cell phone, I was married.
So, oh, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, and I was trying to be more grown up and professional.
Trying.
Trying. Failing miserably, but trying.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of, you know, I had friends that had, like, their own phone lines in their bedroom with their own, like, answer machine. I was like, oh, hell.
That was me.
What?
I just said that, Kelly. You're not paying attention to the show.
No, I did miss that. I'm so sorry. Zoe texted me.
Jeez, Al. Complete lack of professionalism here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed.
Can we back this up?
No edits. We're live, pal.
I'm sorry.
Yes, when I was...
Damn parenting. I'm so sorry. I did miss part of that.
Yes, I lived in a house. There were six of us in this trailer, okay. Then later a house. And because I was the oldest kid, I did end up getting my own phone line at some point for like $35 a month so that I could talk to my girlfriend in peace without getting all kinds of interruptions by six people's worth of phone calls coming in.
Did you have a cordless phone?
I did.
Wow, that's fancy.
It was like one of those giant white brick gimmicks.
Okay. My parents did not fucking care about us being able to talk to our friends at all. Because there was four of us, and we had the house phone, and we had to fight for that phone. And it was chaos. I mean, they did not care.
Now, there may or may not have been some illegal dealings going on the house phone. So the call volume was mighty high on payday.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, I don't think my parents, I mean, to my knowledge, that wasn't happening in the house I grew up in.
Allegedly.
No, yeah, never know. You never know.
All right, let's jump back into Songs of Friends before we hit a subpoena.
I'm the worst person right now. Go ahead.
It happens. All right, but it was just my imagination running away with me. Oh, it was just my imagination running away with me. Soon we'll be married and raise a family. Like, hold the fuck up, young man. So he sees this girl walking by the bay window as he's playing Pong. And now all of a sudden he is formulating life plans with this person. So, oh yeah, we're going to be married. We're going to have a family. We're going to have a cozy little home out in the country with two children, maybe three.
But you know what? I think that says something about time. Like, I think back then that might have been what guys thought. They're like, I'm going to marry that girl. And now I think guys are just like, I want to fuck that girl. Like, it's just different. You know what I mean?
They want the yams without the commitment.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like obviously as generations go on, I think marriage is less of like a thing, or they're not as fascinated about whatever it is. I don't really know. But like, I do think that is something very different today. Like the blatant things that you'll hear or see guys write on like social media, or women too, whatever. I'm like, damn, like it has no like commitment level. No, I want to be with you. Just let's get it on kind of thing. Very different times.
And 1971 was certainly a different time. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember talking to this when I was young, talking about this with a guy I worked with. About how we were like 20 and how like his parents had been married at 19. And we were just thinking like, that's crazy. Like, who does that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me of a Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Where he's like, hey, I'm 15-year-old Dewey Cox and you're my 12-year-old wife and we have three kids.
Seriously. That was my mom and dad though. Like, I think about that. I'm like, shit, they were young. I mean, and my mom, like when her parents found out that she was pregnant, like 3 weeks later, she was married to my dad. You know, it wasn't like, and she was 16 years old. You know, it wasn't like, oh, let's figure this out or see if you want to be. I mean, you know, and my mom did say my grandparents were like, you don't have to marry him, but he ain't coming over here. Like, you know, we'll help you raise your kid and you can stay here or you can be with him and get married, but we're not playing like house and not being married kind of thing. And that was just, you know, and that was in the 70s, but. And I think in a way I got my grandparents' intentions and what they meant by that. But I mean, I don't really think most parents would do that today to their teenager. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, that show 16 and Pregnant, I absolutely hated because it fostered this idea that you're going to become a teenage parent in this great middle income house and everything's going to be taken care of and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Because that's not the reality for most people. You know, being pregnant young is a very real and scary thing.
Yeah.
And not something to be trivialized on some punk ass reality show.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost like, I don't want to say an epidemic, but I feel like it's some families, it's just like everybody does that, you know, and even in mine, like, and my mom had my brother when she was 16. My brother had a child when he was 16. But then my mom was like all over me when I was like in eighth grade. I was like, okay, we're talking about this. You know what I mean? And she put me on the pill very young. But she, I mean, because she was like, I don't want this for you. Like, I love my kids. I love my life. But there's more to life than being a mom right out of high school or in high school or whatever. So, I mean, I remember a lot of my friends' moms were like, oh my gosh, like, I think they felt like my mom was giving me permission to just like sleep with everybody, but that was not her intention. I mean, but she was just like, hey, this is going to happen one day. I don't want you to have a baby, you know? So, where most of my friends had kids in high school, you know, cause they're, or had abortions cause their moms didn't want to like let them take birth control. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I went to nursing school with a guy who was super hardcore born-again Christian. And he took his 10-year-old son to the doctor just for a physical of some sort. And he got so offended when they asked about the HPV vaccine. He's like, no, we practice abstinence in this house. Like, he's 10. He's not fucking anybody. We're like, well, yeah, we know that, but it'll protect him now. So if the hormones take over and he's not making great life choices, he's protected against this. Like 60% of or some odd of all college age kids were carrying HPV. Like, let him beat the odds, please.
Yeah.
He's like, absolutely not. How dare you bring this perversion upon my house?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the whole, just make, we're going to go to church, tell you not to have sex and hope it works, but it doesn't. So, I don't know actually anybody that waited till they got married, but I'm sure there's people out there, but I don't know anybody in my life that actually did that. So
I plead the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on that one.
Those people are on that show, the 90 Day Fiancé, though. Allegedly.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that, allegedly.
Oh, shit.
All right, let's move on now. Let's see. I tell you, I could visualize it all. This couldn't be a dream, for too real it all seems. But it was just my imagination, once again, running away with me. So he is now, at least, copying to the fact that he's just imagining all this. I can visualize all this. Like, I wonder at this point, does he know this girl's name? Or is he built all this up in his head just based on someone being pretty?
Or it's not even a person. He's imagining the whole chick.
Is he schizophrenic? Ooh, that's a twist I hadn't even thought of.
I don't know.
Does he need some of that sweet, sweet Risperdal to help bring his mind back to reality?
It was the 70s, so I bet he knew where she lived and what her name was. You know what I mean? People were more friendly to their neighbors back then, it seemed.
Yo, when I was in fourth grade, this kid followed this girl home just because he had a crush on her, just to see where she lived. And his mom called the police because he didn't come straight home. It turned into a manhunt type situation.
Oh my God.
And none of us, this was 91, so none of us knew what was going on. His mom calls my house freaking out looking for him. I'm like, nah, man, I haven't hung out with that kid in years. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
So the next day, the girl... It's like, oh my God, Trevor came to my house. He followed me home. It was so fucking weird. God.
Poor Trevor.
It turns out he was what would be called special needs.
Oh.
Like, we didn't know that then. We just thought he was kind of dumb.
Yeah. Oh, Steve.
Nope. Turns out he was diagnosable.
Oh my gosh.
He's worked as a stock person for a local independent grocery store for 20 some odd years now, and he's doing all right. But
do you see him?
No, hard no.
Oh, this
no,
is
no,
over.
No.
Where are you? Okay.
Yeah. I just, through the magic of the internet, I know these things.
Facebook information.
Yeah, he was one of those delete off the Facebook quick kind of guys because of just stupid pictures being posted. Tweety Bird related memes and things of that nature. I could
Tweety Bird what?
Memes. Oh. And that old lady that says smart ass things on little comic strips. I don't know her name, but you see a lot of that down here. It bothers the shit out of me. I cannot deal with it.
That's the Kentucky culture or what?
It really Tweety is. Bird and
what is that lady's name?
Hell if I know.
I know what you're talking about. It hits Texas too. You're not alone.
All right. So now we hit this this desperation now, where he's been watching this girl every day, not making a move, and he doesn't understand why she's not his. It's just every night on my knees I pray, dear Lord, hear my plea. Don't ever let another take her love from me, or I would surely die. Her love is heavenly. When her arms enfold me, I hear a tender rhapsody, but in reality, she doesn't even know me.
Oh my God.
Fellas, this is a firm, firm confirmation that you got to shoot your shot. If you don't pull that trigger, you're never going to hit the target now, boys. You don't want to find yourself on your knees praying for the touch of a woman whose touch you've never felt before and hoping that no one else is man enough to step up and take her from you when you haven't even introduced yourself.
This is true.
I mean, worst case scenario, she says no and you can move on with your life. Don't work yourself into a scenario where you're so damn desperate that you're pleading in your living room while the fucking Showcase Showdown is on in the background, hoping to get this girl's attention, but you're too much of a bitch to go out and say hello.
This is true. I always say this. I feel so bad for guys, though. It's so much, like, so much more on men, even today, to kind of, like, put it out there, get shot down. It's scary. Kind of sucks.
Hey, my name's Steve. How are you? That's a start. You know,
don't say I've been fantasizing about you and watching you through the window.
Hey, I notice every day at 4:07 p.m. you walk by. No, that's not a good look.
No.
Hey, it's a nice hat. Can I buy you a brownie? You know?
Can I buy you a brownie? Oh, shit.
It's 1971. I don't know. Let's go get a malt.
Yes, that sounds right.
Go to the soda fountain shop. Fuck, I don't know. How they do it in Pleasureville?
Yeah. Or go have, what was that, a banana what shake?
Let's go get a delicious banana shake.
Did you have one of those?
I did. I had a peanut butter banana shake from Cookout the other day that gave rave reviews to.
Rave reviews.
That's right. Would recommend. I'll probably go get another one tomorrow. Fuck it. Why not?
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
All right. And then he just goes back in to tell you it was just my imagination running away with me. No, 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 no. Can't forget her. Just my imagination running away with me. So he is sinking quickly into a pit of desperation.
Yes.
Don't be like this guy. Go out and get your woman.
Or, you know, only if she's into it.
Yeah, consensually speaking, of course. If she's not into it, just lick your wounds and move on now, son.
Yes. Yes.
But you gotta at least shoot your shot. If she says no, she says no. At that point, you know for sure and you can keep it moving.
Yeah, because I think not knowing is worse.
The absolute worst.
I would assume. Anyways.
All right, well, that's all I have to. That's all I have to say for just my imagination. Kelly, anything you want to say before we close out here?
Nope. I just really think this is, the Steve Anthem of his youth.
It was.
As I was reading it.
So,
I don't think you're alone. I've made confessions about this type of behavior in my mind on this show that we don't need to repeat. So.
Yeah, about you dreaming of Eminem?
I did say that. But I liked a boy a lot in like eighth grade, and I used to daydream about him all the time. I brought him up before.
Yes, you have.
But you know, he's on my Instagram. Try to
There is some shot shooting in it. Someone's near future.
Whatever. I don't do that.
I'm not saying you are. He may be. Oh. He may be lined up at the free throw line, ready to go.
No, I don't think so. He's very weird. I'm probably not like a weird enough girl for him. He's very strange.
All right. As tempted as I am to let you keep going with this.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm just going to go ahead and cut this off right now. We will go to break where we will hear from JT and Chad and then come back and talk about some of the other exciting shows on the Place to Be Nation feeds. We will be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobination.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceTobination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Songs with Friends. Now let's take a quick second to talk about some of the other great shows across the other two Place to Be Nation feeds. On the Place to Be Nation pop feed, we have the newest Hard Traveling Fanboys, in which Greg and Nick deliver a spoiler-filled review of Captain Marvel, so beware if you have not seen the movie. Be careful listening to that podcast. And Andy Atherton is joined by Scott Criscolo and Miranda to give their takes on Captain Marvel as well. Jason Sherman, friend of the show, is joined by Neil and Andy Atherton as the premiere episode of PTBN E-Ticket Attraction kicks off. The trio dive right into an intense look at Disney's Magic Kingdom. And be sure to stop by the Geek and Sassy Facebook page where you can complete a ballot for the second annual Sassy Awards. Make your voice be heard. Kelly, have you filled out your sassies yet?
No, but I need to. I'm going to.
No, I have not because I'm not on Facebook, so I am disqualified from participating in this.
I bet they'd let you.
Maybe. Maybe I'll message Jane.
I could send a double.
Ooh,
response.
There you go. We're going to work the system here. And over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we continue our dip inside the vault with classic Where the Big Boys Play episodes. The newest, repeat, Chad and Parv finished their look at the Great American Bash 1987. Now, those of you newer podcast fans who maybe aren't familiar with Where the Big Boys Play and Chad and Parv's work, Parv in particular, not that I don't love Chad, but Parv isn't really in the podcast realm anymore. Check these out. They're a great look. These guys are very knowledgeable of that product. They went show by show through the WCW and Jim Crockett promotions, and they have some fantastic stuff there, so please check that out. Speaking of Chad, he and JT returned with a new Wrestling Warzone podcast as they broke down the Raw and Nitro from December 18th of 1995, featuring Santa Claus. Kelly, are you familiar at all with the Santa Claus with an X?
No.
Now, in the
kind of sounds okay. Go ahead.
No, in the darkest days of the WWF, their idea was to launch an evil Santa Claus character named Santa Claus.
Oh, my.
And, of course, they launched this the week before Christmas. It's a character that would be completely irrelevant the week after Christmas. So this is like the 1 week he was on television. And the boys were lucky enough to stumble upon this gem.
Oh, my gosh. He's on one, like, episode or 1 week of wrestling.
He was
wrestling.
On one Raw and maybe one or two episodes of Superstars. He was from the South Pole.
Oh, my gosh.
It's as awful as it sounds.
What year is this? I don't even know if you know
1995.
That. Okay.
And on this week's main event, Scott Criscolo, Steve Willey, and the Godfather, Nate Milton, break down Fastlane and lay out their thoughts on WrestleMania. They also deliver the newest classic TNA pay-per-view recap. And in episode 4 of You Don't Know Billy Jack, which is my favorite podcast title, Drew introduces Jordan to the classic Kurt Hennig and Dick Bockwinkel 60-minute New Year's Eve time limit draw. Hell of a match. And be sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com as things are getting back up and running there as March rolls on. Content will be picking up in the days and weeks to come. And finally, of course, be sure to check out the PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page so you can participate in daily polls as we determine which candy is the greatest of all time. The polls will go out also via Twitter. Think kicked off March 10th with a champion crowned on Easter Sunday. Now, those of you Songs with Friends stalwarts may remember last episode we had a bit of banter about candy and about nibs. Now, I didn't know a damn thing about nibs. Kelly was an enthusiastic supporter of this candy. I am pleased to report that since we last recorded, I have in fact got my hand on some nibs. And I say that they are, you know, a possible 4 out of 10.
Fuck you. Sorry, I didn't mean to say.
I was not impressed with the nib.
I know you weren't. It's okay. They weren't, what'd you say? They weren't sweet enough.
You know, I like my candy like diabetes inducingly sweet. And these were very smooth, very small. And just, no, not my thing, man. Not at all. I ate the whole bag. It took me 2 days, but I did it.
You ate them all and you're over here trashing them?
You know, I'm not going to turn down candy now. If I have it in my hands, I'm going to eat it. Pause. This candy's paid for, damn it. It's not going to waste.
Okay. That's fair. No, they're not. And I'm not like, I don't like super sweet stuff. So that makes sense that you probably, some things I do, but for the most part, I kind of like things like that.
All right. But I think we've stumbled on a new possible tradition here for the duration of this candy tournament. Last week, we talked about nibs and you insisted I try them. What candy do you think that I may not be aware of that I should go for in the next 2 weeks?
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
Can confirm, yes I am.
Have you ever had Mambas?
Like Kobe Bryant?
No, like a candy, they're called Mambas.
I've never even heard of this candy.
Okay.
All right, so I'll come back with a Mamba report.
I think that's the name. Hold on. Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I used to eat those all the time when I was a kid. I'd walk up to Walgreens. My mom would give me money, and I would buy candy.
Mamba's Fruit Chews. Is this correct?
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, I will seek these out. I found the website, and I will see if there is a product locator, and I will try this tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Awesome. I don't think either of these are going to be in the Place to Be Nation candy thing at all. There has been some random candy just from that I've never seen or heard of that I probably could try.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the podcast previewing this candy tournament, I would recommend it. There are some impassioned candy fans pleading their cases in this thing. a bit of a candy bracketology, if you will.
I'm telling you.
All right, kids, let's move on to the meat of what we're here for, the second half of this Songs with Friends episode. For this part, this is Kelly's song from the 2006 double album Stadium Arcadium. This is Hard to Concentrate by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Kelly, tell us about this song.
2006?
2006.
Oh, that's actually sooner than I thought. I feel like I always talk like my brothers, but when I was growing up, my oldest brother loved the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're like the Under the Bridge, you know, that kind of thing. And so I always thought of them as this like cool, like sublime kind of California. I don't know. I always liked the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but this song, I don't remember. I guess maybe it was even past 2006 that I heard it, but I don't know. This is like a song I could listen to like 20 times in a row because I annoyingly do that with music a lot. And this is just one of those songs to me. And I don't know. I like it. Had you heard it before?
I'm sure I have. I own this album. I don't think I've listened to it end to end in many, many years.
This isn't your favorite album by them anyways, right?
No. This was not a single off the album. My favorite album by the Chili Peppers is By the Way. I won't go so far as to say it's the only like really great album by then, but it's easily the one that speaks the most to me.
Yeah.
You know, they do a lot of scat bullshit and you know, they lose their way a lot. I think By the Way is just an amazing album. And this was very good too. It could have been tighter. A double album in 2006 really was not necessary, but you know, hey, what can you do?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was a double. I mean, when you said that right now, I was like, oh, I didn't know that, but I didn't probably ever own the actual album, I guess. I don't know. It's probably digital by the time I don't even remember the first time I heard this, honestly. But
I loved Danny California, so I bought this album the day it was released. And
well, you were a baller. You always could buy albums.
Well, and this was the first one that released after By the Way. So I think, All right, awesome. They're gonna be even better. It never works out like that.
Well, I was reading about this song a little bit because I was just like always trying to see if I can find some backstory. And one of the things I saw in Rolling Stone, which I just made me laugh. They said the man who yelled, "I want to party on your pussy," is singing now, "All I want to do is make you happy," or, you know, "see you happy." I was just like crazy because he was so wild. You know what I mean? So I feel like this song, I wouldn't even think it'd be something the Red Hot Chili Peppers would do. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of tame and mellow and a love song.
Right. Have you ever read the Anthony Kiedis autobiography?
No.
Oh, it is a great piece of business.
And I know you like autobiographies, but I haven't really read any in my life.
And it's got to be dirt cheap by now. But that man has some stories. And yeah, his was better than most. His was probably a top five that I've read in my life. So yeah, I will have to recommend that to you. I'm sure it's available via the Kindle.
Maybe.
All right.
Well, and this is going to sound really like weird, but my library, because I still go to the library with my daughter, and they have like a service where you, like a Kindle type service, where you can get a lot of books on there, believe it or not, and it's totally free.
Yes, I've heard of this wonderment. I've never tried it myself.
I've done it a few times, so... You know, it's pretty cool. Some books you don't really want to like. I don't really need books anymore. Like, I used to like to have books, but now I'm into the digital age. I know you still like books sometimes.
No, I prefer digital. There is some stuff that I have owned over the years that is not available digitally. So that's why, you know, certain stuff I just have to get my hands on physical. But this one, I think you're doing just fine doing the ebook.
Okay, I'll look into it. This should be interesting. Okay. So, well, we'll get ready.
I am ready.
And I will say there's a lot in this song that I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? I'm going to say that up front.
That is classic Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah. So sort of like the Nirvana thing, but there are parts in the song that I'm like, I'm clear what they're talking about. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. And I think like I was reading some people's views on this song, and I'm not this very like, a lot of people are super like spiritual or into these like moon, sun, star. Like my niece is very like that, very hippie about like, I could just see her deeper thinking into some of this than I do. So, but we'll just, you're going to hear my thoughts and yours. So, all right. So we got Hustle Bustle and So Much Muscle. Cells about to separate and I find it hard to concentrate. So I don't know, for me in the first part, I'm just kind of taking it like the world's crazy, you know, like, the world is crazy, and sometimes you're just so busy, life is going, and you're not taking time to stop, and I don't know what to say, like, smell the roses or whatever, but that's what I got there. What you got?
As most Red Hot Chili Peppers music goes, this is a song about fucking. Hustle, what? Bustle, So Much Muscle. This is,
oh my God, Steve! I didn't even think about this.
Strong style intercourse is at play here. Cells about to separate. The sperm is about to exit the scrotum, and it's hard to concentrate. My God, it's getting it on.
Did this just come to you right now, or are you like this?
Can confirm.
Holy fuck! Oh my God. Okay, the man and the woman. You might be onto something, but that is not what I was thinking at all. But that's hilarious.
Again, I have the insight of having read his book. This man is all about going in them sugar walls, as the Frame Movement would say.
Going, oh my God, I've never heard that ever.
Yeah, my buddy Mike says that at least twice a day. It's absurd.
Sugar walls. Okay. Woo, learned something new. Okay. So, temporary, this cash and carry, I'm stepping up to indicate the time has come to deviate. It's just sounding so weird, so I didn't know how to separate some of this. And I got nothing here, but this might continue on to your sex track. I'm not sure.
Temporary, this cash and carry, I'm stepping up to indicate the time has come to deviate. Unless he's paying for the ass, I got nothing.
I mean, I was really thinking, though, like, in a way, like, you know, money, all that shit's just kind of like temporary. I mean, I know everybody wants to have money, and money is a problem. Like, people that have money think money is not a problem, but money is a stressor for a lot of us. But sometimes, like someone like him who has money, maybe that's just not enough. You know, I don't really know. I thought that's kind of how their music is to me. Some of it, I'm like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. So,
well, hold on a second. Going into some of the later themes, we haven't really got to it yet, but Tipperary, this cash you carry, saying, all right, this worldly possession stuff doesn't matter. Yo, I'm looking for love. Later on, he finds love in this song. Like, the time has come to deviate from the material possessions and going on to a more meaningful connection.
Yeah. There you go. Well, and I guess I don't know if I should bring this up yet, but I read that he wrote this song, and I don't know, you know, you never know if this shit's right on Google or whatever, but he actually, they said he wrote this song as like a wedding proposal for Flea to use when he got like engaged or married or whatever, that was, and I saw that on several websites. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I thought that was kind of interesting. So, because he's an interesting character too. Does he have a biography?
Flea? If he has, I haven't read it.
Sure, that's interesting too. Okay. So then we got All As I Want. Sorry. All I Want Is For You To Be Happy and Take This Moment To Make You My Family. And Finally You Have Found Something Perfect. And Finally You Have Found. And it stops. You know, and I think this is, I guess you can take it however you want it. Like, to me, I feel like this is like a love, like an in love, you know, romantic love kind of thing. But, and this is like probably kind of cheesy, but my daughter always tells me, like, I think love is when you care about someone else's happiness more than your own, which is like maybe silly or whatever, but it's like a simple way a 12-year-old sees love. You know what I mean? And so I think that's just, you know, what it means when you love someone. It could be anybody, but you want to see them happy. So,
all right.
What you got?
If we tie this into the previous stanza, Tipperary, this cash and carry, I'm stepping up to indicate the time has come to deviate, and all I want is for you to be happy. Like, I don't care about this money. All I care about is making you happy. Take this moment to make you my family. You know, I want to marry you. You know, I finally found someone perfect, and finally you have found, and then an ellipsis. Like, it builds like this for a while till the big reveal at the end. But, yeah, that's just him saying he's ready to settle down with this person.
Yeah. So then we have, here's another hot mess coming. No. That defying this mess I'm buying. It's raining down with love and hate, and I find it hard to motivate. And I had to Google this word. I'm not even going to lie. Is it estuary? How do you say that word? I don't even know.
On the it's estuary.
Estuary. I should have looked that up. But blessed, because you already corrected me today about spelling, so just kidding. sorry, it's blessed but scary. Your heart's about to palpitate, and I'm not about to hesitate. I'm going to stop there because there's like a lot. But I Googled that word because I was like, I don't know what the fuck this word is. And it said it's the part of the mouth or lower course of the river in which the river's current meets the sea's tide. That didn't help me in any way.
I have the tidal mouth of a large river where the tide meets the stream. This is a wet situation.
Oh my God. You might be right about that, maybe.
The estuary is blessed where the mouth meets the stream. My God, she is soaking. and he is blessed to have found it, but also scary. Check this out. I hate to jump in your path here, but just to find this mess I'm buying, it's raining down with love and hate, and I find it hard to motivate. An estuary is blessed but scary. Your heart's about to palpitate. I'm not about to hesitate. She is. She's all fired up. She's revved up for the intercourse here, and he is going in.
See how I was going to – I over here, like, wrote down, like, I was really thinking, like, he's like, I love this girl. Like, I'm falling in love. I'm not, like, going to hesitate. And you're over here, like, it's – you know, you're taking it down that track.
he is the one talking about the – the river's mouth, so to speak.
Oh my gosh.
It's yeah, blessed but scary, right. And the heart's about to palpitate. Think about what happens when you're incredibly turned on. Your heart is racing. The moisture is increasing. Like, this checks out. This isn't just me being me. This is full on Anthony Kiedis being what Anthony Kiedis is. And like I said, Anthony Kiedis is a man who is here to fuck.
That's true. And you still want to do that with someone you love, I guess. So it's not that.
Exactly. Like, who would you rather do it with?
But it's also, that's true. But it's like, I really feel like this is a love song.
It is. And Anthony Kiedis very much associates the sexual acts with love.
It's his love language.
It is.
Which I can appreciate. It's not like low on my totem pole of things either. But some people don't need that or don't care. You know, like I know a lot of people that are like, I don't care about intimacy, like, which is crazy to me. You know what I mean? But I'm like, what? So everyone doesn't need it.
True. But Anthony Kiedis is not one of those people.
No, he's a gorgeous man. He's going to get what he wants.
He's been getting it on since early middle school. Damn it. He's not here for the bullshit.
Is he married now, you think?
I have no idea.
Huh. I don't know if he's ever been married that I know of.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know, boo-boo.
I'm going to look it up.
Alrighty.
Okay. So, and I think I'm going to go with what I think this says, but I saw this lyrics on here a couple different ways. So it's kind of throwing me off, but want to treasure the rest of your days here and give you pleasure. Oh, geez. In so many ways, dear. And finally, you have found something perfect. And finally, you have found. Then he has this. Here we go. So that's where like the music picks up. My goodness, Steve. I'm going to. No, I think there's something, very sweet when you find someone that you think that does treasure you and your time, even if that means, you know, you're going to be naughty here with the pleasure, I know, but that is part of it. You know, I mean, you want to find someone that you're sexually compatible with or you're equally attracted to or whatever. So go ahead. What are you going to say?
All right. This is some of that 50-50 action. Kiedis is such a sexual being, but you know, there's some sweetness in here too. Want to treasure the rest of your days here. Like he wants to be beneficial to his partner's existence. Like, I want to treasure your existence while you're here. And at the same time, I do want to give you the pleasure in so many ways. I'm sure some sexual, some not. He tends not to sing about the not, but, you know. Finally, you have found something perfect. And finally, you have found, here we go.
But when you're listening to the song, here we go, it's like the music starts picking up.
Because it's time to fuck.
It's time, damn it. Oh, gosh. And I will admit that when I saw, give you pleasure. I mean, that is the first thing I think that comes to a lot of people's mind when you hear that about a relationship. But, you know, that comes in all types of forms. But obviously.
You say comes.
We're moving on. All right. So he has. Oh, my. This is going to keep getting bad. Okay. Do you want me to show up for duty and serve this woman and honor her beauty? And finally, you have found something perfect. And finally, you have found. And then it's yourself. So. Oh, gosh. I know you're going to. Go ahead. You can go first.
Now that, do you want me to show up for duty? Do you want me to be here to perform for you and to serve you? But that's the double entendre here. This also goes with like a traditional wedding vow type scenario. Do you want me to serve this woman and honor her beauty? Like, I mean, that's, to me, up to this point, this is like the sweetest part of the song. Like, he wants to do things for her to honor her as a woman. And, you know, honor your beauty is just a way of saying that. It's a more traditional way of saying that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, because I'm big about this in life, but I like the part, when you find yourself. And even better if you can, like, find yourself while you're with someone else, because I think a lot of people lose their self when they're with someone else, you know, a lot of the time. So if you're with someone that makes you, I don't know, see yourself in a good way and lets you find yourself, that's even better, but... That's me living in La La Land.
I will co-sign that.
All right. So then, I don't know. I like this song because it'll go like, I like the way the music is, I guess. And this part, next part kind of gets, you know, it's slow. It says it really slow. But it's like, with me, will you agree to take this man into your world? And now that we are one. So, I mean, obviously, at this part, to me, it's like there's someone that's getting married. So, I mean, even if he's being sexual and naughty. That's the shit you should do with your wife. So it's like not a big deal, or someone you're in love with. So, but I don't think there's much more on that. Or what do you got?
It ties into the previous bit. It says, finally, you have found yourself, and then a dramatic pause with me. Will you agree to take this man into your world? And now we are as one. It's just a straight up blessed union of marriage is what we've stumbled upon here.
Mm-hmm. Take this man. My goodness. They're doing it again. Just kidding.
It's what they do.
Okay. This next part, I'm like, ooh, okay. So he has my Lone Ranger, the heat exchanger. Is stop it.
This is a verse about cock, is what this is.
You are ruining this song for me.
Hey, that's what we do on Songs of Friends.
I was seriously thinking, like, this is the kind of song you could, like, have at a wedding, and then you're over here.
Okay. I mean, you could if you're kind of a dick. Now, on Songs of Friends, this is what we do. We break down the lyrics. We find the meaning behind the songs. The songs that we've been happily singing along to cluelessly for our whole lives. Turns out, they're all about drugs or fucking. All of them.
Okay. Oh, my God. My Lone Ranger, the heat exchanger, is living in this figure eight, and I'll do my best to recreate in sweet precision and soft collision. Oh, geez.
Oh, my God.
Hearts are about the palpitate. I find it hard to separate. Seriously.
My Lone Ranger, the heat exchanger. There is heat coming off his genitalia. Is living in this figure eight. I've never seen a vaginal region that resembled a figure eight. But hey, you know, do you. All right? I'm not here to shame.
I was somehow thinking, like, they were getting into that. What is that symbol? The infinity symbol. But, I mean, I was thinking he was not sexually. So now that's, like, an even weirder thought that I just threw out there. So. Oh my God.
I'll do my best to recreate in sweet precision and soft collision. Oh yeah, this is about some ugly bumping for sure. Heart's about to palpitate, and I find it hard to separate. I am inside and I am not going to stop. I will not separate until the job is done.
Oh man. You are taking a song that really all over the internet people were like, I walked down my wedding. Like, I walked down the aisle in this song. I saw people write that.
Well, Kelly Jean Redacted, you chose this song, not me.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So then we have, he changes this up. So it says, all I want is for you to be happy and take this woman and make you my family. And finally, you have found someone perfect. And finally, you have found, and it says now. So it has, like, in that third line, what is it? At the top, he says, I want to take this moment and make you my family. And then he changes it to woman. And then I can't even think straight. I know you're probably going to come up with something crazy on this. And then says at the top, I think he says, found something perfect. Now he's saying he found someone perfect. You probably thought I'd miss that, but I caught it.
No, I just, out of nowhere here, imagine this scenario. Imagine how ridiculous it would be. Because of the back and forth here, between the obviously scorching sexual lyrics, combined with the super sweet, let's get married type stuff. Imagine if you, like, had a wedding officiant at bedside while you're mid-coitus.
Oh my God,
and, like, that's how you do it? Like, you get married while you're in the midst of the intercourse?
You might be honest.
Like, something. This could be the play here. I'm going to sell this idea.
Oh, my God. Really, though, I mean, could you ever really, you would never really feel closer to someone in that situation. It's like.
Oh, that, but you could trick them into possibly marrying you. What they do, you take this man. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what the guy from the first song should have done. Got that girl to marry him. Oh, shit.
Nope, he wouldn't even say hello. His loss.
And then I think.
If the Temptations were more like Anthony Kiedis, those songs would have been much different.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, do you like the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I do. So, like I said,
you're hit or miss.
Yeah, a lot of their stuff is real skip-bit-a-bee-bop bullshit, but at their best, they're untouchable.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious. Okay, we only got one more. And it's a repeating, but it is a little different. So, well, he says the same thing he says in the first part, but then it says, finally, you have found yourself. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be nice and sweet, and you're going to take this down the pervy path. But no, I mean, I don't know. It's a sweet song. I can't even say that seriously now. You have ruined a song that I love.
My bad.
Just kidding. I still love it, but this is very funny because I really was reading some of this shit and I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I knew you would know.
I mean, it spends the whole song building. Finally, you have found, and not finishing his sentence. And then he finally wraps it up with, finally, you have found yourself. I think that's just a nice way of the old Wedding Singer's line of true love, finding your counterpoint within someone else. You have to, I said Wedding Singers, Wedding Crashers is what I meant there. It's getting late. I'm kind of tired.
All those great, yeah.
Great wedding genre films.
That's the song. Wait, you're going to use the Wedding Crashers as a reference point for love?
Yes, okay. Bullshit toast they do.
I know, go ahead with
that. That's just him, you know, finally closing out with, you know, basically telling her he loves her, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a nice, sweet way after an afternoon full of intercourse that they've had here. He's basking in the post-coital glow. And he's in love, and he always will be. Word to Dido.
Episode what?
Episode one.
Well, I think you tied that up good.
Alrighty. So, next time here on Songs of Friends, we're going to do something a little different. For the first time since August, I think, we're going to have a guest here. We will have from the PTBN E-Ticket Podcast, Jason Sherman, making his Songs and Friends debut. We let him pick the songs, and I save them here, but then I put my phone away, so let me pull this back out. That's what she said. And we will be doing... Damn it, I've saved too much stuff on this phone today. Where the hell is it? All right, Bakken, I'm just going to pull up the chat. Forgive me, guys, for this lack of professionalism here.
And I did ask him, do you have those songs ready?
You did?
I'm just kidding.
All right, we're going with Bush, Loneliness is a Killer, and Zebrahead, The Hell That Is My Life. So Jason brings some very optimistic music to our our feed.
I'm sure you'll find a way to bring some. The Hell That Is Your Life. You'll enjoy.
Well, good. I actually do have a couple of things to plug this week. I will be appearing within the next 2 weeks, I believe. We recorded it some time ago on Eliminated, a Royal Rumble podcast. That's the name of the show, Eliminated, a Royal Rumble podcast. That is on its own podcast feed. I appeared to discuss the 1998 Royal Rumble match. I had a hoot doing that show. I've been told there are some technical difficulties with some slight echo, but I hope that you enjoy it. I had a lot of fun recording it, so please check that out. Those were some good guys. And also, in the next couple of weeks, I will be recording with Jeff for Jeff Versus the World, his new podcast, again, also on its own feed, anywhere podcasts are found. I recommend checking that out. We'll be breaking down our top 5 classic albums, so I'm looking forward to that a lot. In the meantime, don't forget to send us an email if you so desire at ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com. We're up to 3 emails now. Two of them from fucking people who are on the air with us right now. Also, check out our Twitter at ptbn_songs. For Kelly, this is Steve. We hope you enjoy the show. We will try to do better next time.